Before we start looking ahead, maybe we'll reflect back on what has been a sad week for League of Ireland football. We learned of the very sad passing of Ryan McBride last Sunday, and he was buried on Thursday. You didn't play with him at your time in Derry, but you played against him, and an immense loss for Derry City and the football fraternity. Kevin?
Yeah, it's been well documented. I think people have been very genuine, even talking to Paul Hegarty, and people that know him very well, and a few of my mates that know him very well personally, on a personal level, grew up with him. He really was a genuine, good young fella. And it looked like he was starting off to have his best season. He was in the best shape I've ever seen him in. Obviously the players are going to have to come to terms with it, and there's no book you can read, or they prepare you for something like this. So Kenny Shields has a massive job in his hands, trying to keep the players focused now and trying to maybe go on and achieve something maybe in Ryan's memory. So that could be the carrot that they have now from now to the end of the season, because there's no doubt about it. Like they've 100% start, and they looked like they were going very, very well. And he was pivotal to the whole thing, you know.
Yeah, and you of course spent time at Derry City Football Club, and you know how special a club it is, and how tight they are together in the Brandywell area. And they've had tragic, of course, things happen in the past, Mark Farn and obviously the Buncrana Pier tragedy last year as well, and they've had to rally together a couple of times, Kevin. But that's one thing about Derry, that they stick very, very tight together when things like this arise, when tragedy arises at the club.
They seem to, between the fans, the board, the players, they all seem to bounce back. There's resilience in there. Very hard to put your finger on it. Why are they so mentally strong, and why they keep bouncing back? There's a good togetherness there, and sometimes through tragedy it does bring people maybe closer together, and I've no doubt this will. And Ryan was probably one of the favourite characters within the whole team room. He was their captain, leader, he was their go-to man for set pieces, he was the last man off the training pitch. Like you hear all the stories during the week, and I don't think any of them are exaggerated. He was a tough player. I don't think I've ever got the better of him. And I know plenty of strikers in the games I've seen rarely get the better of Ryan McBride, you know.
Yeah.
He was a top player.
Yeah, and I know too, he was an example for young players coming up, and he always had time for the younger players and for the children and the fans that were running around a club. And I suppose if you ever wanted an example to be set as of a footballer, Ryan McBride was it.
That's it. Whether it be basketball, Gaelic, he was the perfect role model. As a person, takeaways on the field skills, just as a person off the field, he was genuinely top fella, and would have stopped and really a good time for all the kids around the change rooms, and if you follow Facebook before this tragedy has happened, like you would have seen Ryan constantly in photos with kids and visiting clubs, and it wasn't too long he was out there in St. Johnson with another group of kids I've seen on Facebook as well. So these are things that he would have done unknown to anybody, and he loved doing it because he was proud to be captain of Derry City, being so close to the Brandywell, that was his dream, and it's just that makes it even more of a tragedy, you know, these things happening.
Yeah, and it was nice the touch last night before the Ireland game, and James McLean wearing his number, but Derry now have to come together and regroup after this devastation that has hit the club. But Kevin, just now maybe looking at the action so far today in the League of Ireland Premier Division, Cork City, have they made a big statement early on, beating Dundalk by 2-1 this afternoon to remain 100% or keep that 100% record going?
Yeah, I've no doubt about it. Cork are saying well. I would say any other two, like given even the last two or three seasons, Cork, if you look at the points and the goals scored, they've improved year on between just Dundalk pipping them and getting to the final, getting beat by Dundalk, and then last year they beat them. So to me, they're on an upward curve, and the signings they've made have been top notch, and they've all seemed to have gelled together pretty quickly. Even going with attendance figures down in Cork today, there was nearly 7,000 at the game. So if you have that kind of following and you have that kind of form on the field, I can see only one result, you know. Dundalk, obviously, it was well documented last year how good a season they had.
Have they been weakened then, Kevin, by the losses of the players?
There's no point in beating around the bush. Yeah, I honestly think they have. How do you replace Daryl Horgan and Andy Boyd? They were two of the best players in the country, and in particular Horgan. Not only was he your best technical player, but he was probably the most hard-working player. And he was a huge loss on the field and off the field for him. So they lose two players like that. I know he's brought in two or three, Michael Duffy and a few other lads, but you're still down in quality slightly. And it'll probably take those lads, younger lads coming in, maybe a wee bit of time to gel, whereas I think Cork are the real deal right away. And they've obviously started really, really well, 100% record, 6 out of 6. So...
I suppose if any man knows how to rally the troops as well and bounce back after, it is Stephen Kenny. Now, we're not writing Dundalk off here in any sort of way, because they're still a fantastic football team, and they lost maybe just that slight wee bit of quality, but certainly they come the title run at the end of the season. We expect them to be thereabouts as well.
Oh, Dundalk will be there. They'll push them right to the end. Now, Dundalk will go on a run and push Cork down, but I just feel Cork have serious motivation from the last couple of years, and they know Dundalk are not going, and that's what makes it a good league. We've only 5 games out of the way, 6 games after the season's run of games, but it's 28 games to go, so there's the table. They say the table doesn't lie, but this early on you probably can't read too much into it at the bottom of the table. But at the top, I think Cork, as you said earlier, definitely have made a statement with 6 wins out of 6. You have to sit up and take notice of them, you know.
Yeah. Let's look ahead then to tonight's game, the big North West Derby, Finn Harps against Sligo Rovers. It's going to be an interesting game at Finn Park this evening. Both sides, of course, in the bottom half of the table. But can Harps keep this good form going? They've taken 4 points from the last 2 games, Kevin.
Yeah, well, suppose the biggest thing for Ollie, I would say he'll probably want to get his first one at home. He's got 4 points away from out of 3 away games, and I would say if you're to stay up, your home form's key. So I would say if you were chatting to Ollie would say, I want my home form to turn around. I'd rather get the 4 points at home, because it gathers a wee bit of momentum and confidence in your own home change room. And the fans are a wee bit more behind you, so that makes tonight's game even more important. It'd be great to get off the... I want to start tonight as well at home. Obviously, having been a derby against Sligo, it's another big one. And for them, it's probably more so bigger game for them than it is for us. But Ollie of them... Well up for the game tonight. You know.
Yeah, a couple of injury doubts. Midfielder Barry Malloy and striker Kieran O'Connor are both on the doubtful list tonight. The concerns for manager Ollie Horgan. Just on the squad that they have this year, Kevin, and you've seen a lot of squads, of course, in your time around Finn Park, and it's been mentioned in a couple of weeks that this possibly could be the strongest squad that Harps have had in a while. Is that something that you agree with?
Yeah. Looking at the signs early doors, young Cantwell and O'Connor and young McAleer they've brought in, and obviously Paddy McCourt coming in. I've seen Paddy doing things over the last 4 or 5 weeks that I've never seen him doing before. Obviously we all know he's a baldy on the ball, but he's off the ball work, and he's obviously bought in to the position Harps are going to be in and the way they're going to play. And be fair to Paddy, that's a character often, but be fair, he's bought into the whole thing, and he's working hard for the team as well. And obviously he's our go-to man for a wee bit of quality as well. But the signings, yeah, they look really good. Ollie's done it again. Like, he's pulled boys out of the woodwork at the start of the season, and they've all come up to the plate over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Young Boyle will be a loss tonight, obviously being away with under-21s, so he's going to have to reshuffle there, and depending on the match fitness of O'Connor and Barry. Obviously, Ollie's not going to name the team obviously until late on, but they'll be key. So Barry's fit for tonight if we're going to maybe go at Sligo, especially being at home. It's important Barry's fit. Maybe they sit and hold down the midfield, you know.
It's a tough league, so it is, Kevin, as you well know, and especially when North West Derby's come around, they can be a bit fiery, so they can keeping the discipline, as Ollie Horgan said today, could be key to getting some sort of result out of this one.
Yeah, well, discipline's everything. Looking at the both the lineups, and Ollie and Sligo, you know, Dave Robertson loves to play with a diamond in the middle, so I can see Ollie maybe changing it up as well, maybe because, as I said, he'd keep the three in the middle. So going back to what I said earlier, I think Barry will be key to that. Obviously, Sean and Paddy's been in good form, but the discipline's going to be key, you're right. Obviously, emotion, you can't let the emotions get the better of you in a derby. Discipline is going to be key. I don't think there's going to be many goals in the game tonight, so hopefully Hearts can come out on the right end of it, you know.
There is, of course, Donegal interest in Sligo as well. Kevin, Sean Patton's there, that Harps know of, you know, at Tiffin Park and at Derry City. Kel McFadden and Liam Martin of Donegal Town. So there is a Donegal influence in the visitors, a big Donegal influence, if you want to look at that way, because they will be seen as important players to Sligo.
Yeah, I've obviously seen Liam and Sean on numerous occasions, played with Sean loads of times, but young McFadden, I haven't seen him before, so I'm looking forward to seeing him tonight. Going by reports, he's a top defender. Obviously, that's why he's been across the water and in the States. So it'll be good to go and watch. Obviously, we'd love to go and play him with some Irish, but sometimes that's not always the case, and things are out of your hands, you know. But Liam's a good player, a very good player from Donegal Town. Sean's an up and coming keeper, so it'll be good. There's a lot of Donegal interest in him. Local derby as usual, you know. But, well, regardless of the result, I just think the mentality in the group is key, as in you can't get carried away. You get a couple of losses in this league, and you can't get carried away when you get a couple of ones. So, and all these, in fairness, that's one of all these strengths, keeps people grounded. And that'll be key going into the main part of the season, over especially 28 games to go.
Okay, so, well, we're going to pin you on it now then. Kevin, what are you calling the result as tonight?
I think it'll be a tight one. I think Harps will edge it. Being the home team and a few of the lads, like Sean Houston's in great form. There's goals on O'Connor, and I think the pressure is on Sligo. Really, really on. Obviously, the manager's a different, like Sligo will have different ambitions than Finn Harps. They'd be looking to push maybe for a European spot, whereas Finn Harps, if they stay in the league, in the Premier Division this year, it'll be a fantastic achievement. So I think the pressure's on Sligo. With those 4 points we've got away from home the last two games, I think it takes a wee bit of pressure off us. Not that Ollie or Higgsy will be telling the boys that, but it definitely takes a wee bit of pressure off, and sometimes you can get a wee bit more free flow in football when the pressure's off. So I fancy it. I think our forward players are in form, and Sligo just haven't found their feet yet, so I really fancy us tonight. Maybe they want it 1-0.
Yeah, Shamrock Rovers are still beating St Patrick's Athletic by a goal to nil. Gary Shaw with the goal there in 13. They've played just gone 30 minutes of that time. And I know, Kevin, before the season that you suggested that St Patrick's Athletic could be a side that could find themselves possibly in trouble this year. And on the same day, the other soccer correspondents that we had on were disagreeing with you. But it looks as if you're right, because they're bottom of the table. They've only had one draw and four losses going into today.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for them. I remember saying that, all right, a few of the teams that have voted for this 10-10 league could regret their decision after a few months, and I would say St Pat is definitely one of those teams at the minute. I'd say Liam Buckley could be under a bit of pressure after this game, but like, they have 1 point after six games is for a team that's maybe pushing for the top four, that's serious bad form. And they could struggle when you look at other teams picking up points all around them. So they could be left behind very, very quickly if the kind of league it is. And you can see, as we spoke about before the season kicked off, you've got the three teams that are pushing. And obviously, depending on how Derry react now over the next few weeks, they could still push, make a push for the title as well. You just never know these circumstances. But I do feel Cork will be the strongest team in it. And then there's the league. Like, I know they say the league doesn't lie. You can see by the table already that the four or five teams that are down around the bottom. And I think that's the way it'll be for probably the remainder of the season.
Yeah. Just finally, a word on Seamus Coleman. We've seen that challenge last night. A horrific leg injury for Seamus Coleman. A double fracture. He's going to be out for some time, which is a huge blow to Seamus, and of course to club and country, to Everton and the Republic of Ireland.
Absolute disaster. Just watching it live, and you could just see it on his teammates' faces. It was obviously a horrendous tackle. I'm not sure Taylor went in. He obviously went in. Maybe they hurt him, because you can tell. I think Liam Brady had a knee on the head at half time or at full time when he says that. Obviously, Coleman went in and says, "Right, we're getting bullied here. let's get into these boys physically. And you could see they kind of lost their discipline slightly with the yellow cards. Maybe Bale should have got a red card as well. So I've no doubt even then maybe they hurt him, but I don't, like, nobody goes in to obviously hurt somebody that bad. And it's just one of those things in a split-second tackle. Hart goes out to Seamus now because he'll be out for at least a year.